Hello again, this is John Lewis, director of St. Benedict's Workshop. I'm here on a blustery late winter, early spring day at the offices of Still Point Studios working with Charles Garrett to record this Sunday's installment of Practicing Lent, a series of weekly and daily reflections for Lent 2015. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent, March 22nd, 2015. And our topic today is surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Sylvia Maddox has prepared deeply insightful weekly reflections on the faithful lives of several 20th century saints, which appear each Thursday in our Lenten study. Today, on this fifth Sunday in Lent, we continue Sylvia's theme entitled Cloud of Witnesses by reflecting together on a portion of the New Testament canonical writing known as Hebrews. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, the author recounts the faith and faithfulness of many figures from throughout the history of Israel recorded in the Old Testament. The author then concludes this run through the history of our ancestors in faith by reminding us in chapter 12, verse 1, that, quote, "we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," close quote. For today's session, we will briefly consider some of the most important witnesses discussed in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and then focus on the climactic conclusion to this parade of faithful stars in chapter 11, verse 39 through chapter 12, verse 2. Like the saints highlighted in Sylvia's weekly meditations, these ancestors in faith form part of that great cloud of witnesses who point us toward different ways of living out our faith and faithfulness in our own generation. From the Scriptures, Part 1. I'm now reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors became witnesses. By faith we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. For reflection. Faith is a word of confidence. The more faith I have, the more confident I am about what I believe and trust. But as most of us know, it becomes harder to have trust and confidence in things we cannot see. Here in the opening verses of Hebrews chapter 11, the author affirms that our ancestors in the faith did in fact trust in things they could not see. They have become witnesses, pointing us to different ways to trust God and to follow God's Word. According to their witness, we do this by placing our lives in God's hands, even when our final destination is neither known nor in sight. Our ancestors in faith became examples for us, giving us confidence to follow similar paths, with the promise that by doing so, we too will encounter the one true and living God. Here are some questions for reflection. Do you and or your congregation have trouble trusting in things you cannot see? If so, give a concrete example and explain why you think this is so troublesome. Who are some of your ancestors in the faith? Those whose trust in God give you and or your congregation the confidence to follow God faithfully in your own lives. What are some of the characteristics of your ancestors in the faith that you and or your congregation want to follow by example? From the Scriptures, Part 2, I'm now going to read portions from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 to 31. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham received power of procreation, even though he was too old and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. For reflection, many of us occasionally wonder where the early Israelite and Jewish heroes stand in the eyes of God, who only later sent Jesus Christ into the world. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, the author provides us with a theologically sophisticated answer and points us toward hope for our own future with God in Christ. We hear of the faithful Abraham, comfortable and affluent in his own world. He nevertheless packs up his entire household and belongings to live a good life in order to follow the direction of a God who only promises to show him later where he is bound. Can you imagine selling that kind of move to your family today? Yet, in some ways, we can hear a similar story in the life of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Responding to God's call, he too set out on a similar journey, without a known destination, as he led the movement that challenged the legacy of centuries-long racial discrimination in America. We hear of the faithful Moses, once comfortable and powerful in the house of the Egyptian Pharaoh. He nevertheless leaves behind the good life to suffer in solidarity with his own people. The story of Moses, as depicted here in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, reminds us in some ways of the life of the German Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He left the safety and security of a job in America to return to his native Germany to join others in opposing the leadership and direction of the Nazi Party under Adolf Hitler. We hear the story of the Israelites, who braved crossing the waters of the Red Sea as they fled Pharaoh's pursuing army. Most of us who are older probably picture the theatrical portrayal of the high walls of water parting at the command of Moses, played by Charlton Heston in the classic 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments. It may be more realistic, however, for us to imagine the fear of the Israelites who entered the water without any sense of how they would get through the water and wondering whether they would drown in the process. They, too, remain a powerful example of a group of people who trusted God with their very lives and had the confidence to act without knowing the outcome. Here are a few questions for reflection. Has there been a time in your life or in the life of your congregation when you gave up a great deal to follow God's call? What gave you or your congregation the confidence to take such action? What was the outcome? Has there been a time in your life or in the life of your congregation when you took an unpopular position to stand alongside a person or group of people who were persecuted and oppressed? What gave you the confidence to take such action? What was the outcome? Has there been a time in your life when you or your congregation put your physical or economic life at risk to follow God's call? What gave you the confidence to take such action? What was the outcome? From the Scriptures, Part 3, I'll now be reading from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 through chapter 12, verse 2. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that, apart from us, they would not be perfected. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. For reflection, the author of Hebrews continues to interpret the faithful lives of our Israelite and Jewish ancestors. He answers some of our questions about their place within the wider community of God's people. Even though they were faithful in their own day, the author of Hebrews concludes that they did not fully receive what was promised them by God. Hebrews then boldly proclaims that we, the followers of Jesus, even now, have become part of the process of perfecting the faith and faithfulness of our ancestors. What an image! Through faith and faithfulness in our own day, God is knitting us into the larger tapestry that comprises all of God's faithful people, and, simultaneously, is perfecting the faith and faithfulness of those who came before us. How can this be? Hebrews depicts Jesus as the fulcrum of godly faith and faithfulness. He is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith, according to chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus becomes the center of attention. As the one who suffered faithfully in obedience to God's will and was raised from the dead by God, Jesus became both the originator and perfecter of true faith and faithfulness to God. Through his faithful suffering and his resurrection from the dead, Jesus transfigured the earlier faith and faithfulness of his ancestors, while also charting the course for the faith and faithfulness of all of us who follow him. That means our faith and faithfulness make a difference, not only to those who follow us, to whom we become examples, but also to our ancestors, who never knew the faith and faithfulness of Jesus. God continues to weave the tapestry with the lives of those who live God's faith and faithfulness in their own day, a tapestry that will only finally be finished when God's kingdom comes to earth in its completeness, with all its radiant splendor and glory. Practice. Make a list of those who have influenced your faith and faithfulness, or that of your congregation. Where possible, make a plan to thank them for their influence. Now make a list of those who are being influenced by the way you and your congregation live your lives of faith and faithfulness. Make a plan to ask them how you're doing. Prayer. Gracious God, who sent your Son Jesus Christ into the world to show us perfect faith and faithfulness by willingly suffering in his obedience to you, grant us the wisdom to follow him faithfully in our own day, the courage to share in his sufferings as our obedience might require, the awareness of the influence of our actions on the faith and faithfulness of others. Then knit us, we pray, into the beautiful tapestry that is your faithful people throughout all the ages. And finally, bring us to that place of completion in your kingdom, where there is eternal life for all your faithful people. Amen.